Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're excited to hear all the reports from our small groups that are meeting each week. And if you've not been able to join a small group, go to our website, harvestm.com, and click on the link for small groups, and you can find the different ones that are happening. There's groups for young people, there's groups for men, for ladies, for different interests, and these are happening every week. A great time to connect with others and have a wonderful time of fellowship. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. What a day that will be. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jumping down to verse 41, Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Today I preached to you on this subject. You've probably already guessed it. The sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. Help us, Lord. Help us. Would you pray? Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us from Your word. I pray that You'd help us here today. We want to give You glory, Lord. We want to be in Your will. We want to accomplish Your purpose, Lord. Let Your hand be upon us. Let Your voice speak to us today. Help us, Lord. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory and the worship here right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In studying the life and times of Jesus Christ, we find many examples relating to farming and to the raising of cattle. We must remember that this was the way of life then. Few worked in an office. There really weren't too many white-collar jobs available. People often made their living from farming and from raising animals. Definitely a different way of life than what most are accustomed to today. A few years ago, I was reminiscing of times like these when things were just more simple, and so I got the idea of raising goats. Raising goats. I had preached for a friend of mine who pastored in Corning, Arkansas at the time, Brother Chris Dixon. Amen. This is Brother Croy's former pastor. And he had these beautiful boar goats. They were beautiful. They were meat goats, so they were large, and they had the white bodies with just the dark red head. And, oh, it was so neat. He had one of them that had a baby while we were there, and so it was so exciting to see these goats. And so I went into the goat business. And our first purchase was Johnny Cash. That was his name. Johnny Cash. He was a registered boar buck with a little mean streak in him. Uh-huh. And yeah. And then there was Hazel and Jazzy and Misty and Nova and Jasmine and Wendy. And then there were Paul and there were Peaches. Paul and Peaches were two great Pyrenees dogs to help protect the quickly expanding goat herd. There were a lot of valuable lessons to be learned from raising goats, like building fences and keeping them up. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to build a fence. It's easy to tear one down, but it's not easy to build one. It takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. And in Texas, I built that fence. I built it in the middle of mosquitoes and 80 to 90 degree weather and humidity and all of that, but it had to be done. If you're going to have goats, you're going to have a fence. And it teaches you a lot about responsibility and caring for the goats and feeding them and keeping them healthy and providing shelter and giving shots and giving medicine and delivering baby goats, not turning your back on the bucks. Keeping some goats separate and keeping some goats together. And there's a lot about life to be learned from goats. Brother Mike, I hope I learned all of that dealing with goats and not as a pastor. Amen. I'd rather deal with sheep as a pastor. Praise the Lord. You know, you learn a lot about the cycle of life and death. We had some die. There were some mothers that died and left the babies. They had to be cared for. They had to be fed with a bottle several times a day. There were some babies that died in the process of birth. You know, it's a real way for children to learn about life, to care for animals, and to be around that kind of production. And perhaps we all need to get back to a little farming. Forgive me today for reminiscing, and Sister McCoy is about to probably roll her eyes, but you know, I hope one day that I can have a few acres and get some goats and some dogs and some cattle, and man, we can all have dreams, amen? Throughout the Word of God, there are numerous instances where real-life examples are given based off of farming and raising cattle. In today's text, the souls of mankind are related to sheep and goats. Jesus chose to relate to people in language and through illustrations that they would understand, relating to them the things of God in common everyday language that would make sense to them. And that's really what preaching is all about, that it, at least it ought to be. It should be relating the things of God to people in everyday language that makes sense. And more than just make sense, but hopefully it's in an anointed way so that results happen and people are moved and lives are changed and things are different when the hearer leaves. So let's look at the words of Jesus today regarding the sheep and the goats and let's see what the Lord was talking about as it relates to you and I. You see, there's some differences in raising sheep and raising goats. You look at raising sheep and goats back in the biblical times, and it was even different from it is today. During the times of Jesus, and even currently today, somewhere in the Middle Eastern areas, the sheep were not herded into a barn. They were not fenced into a pasture, and then the gate closed while they were left for the night. No, a different method was used. The shepherd would lead and direct the sheep into a smaller shelter or maybe a fenced enclosure, and it was called a sheepfold. And the sheepfold could vary in size, but the main difference we need to be aware of is the sheepfold had no door. There was no gate. There was nothing to close off the sheepfold. Whether it was a small shelter or a fenced-in area where they would gather the sheep, there would be just an open space for the door of the sheepfold. And in Middle Eastern times, it was a common practice that the shepherd himself would make his bed there in the open area that served as a door. And as he slept there through the night, he prevented the sheep from leaving the fold, and he protected the sheep from anything outside that wished to get in. He actually served as the door himself. In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus, the great shepherd, is the door of the sheepfold. Amen. There is no other way to enter in but by him. The only way to get in is through the door. And so if you're going to enter in through the door, it's got to be through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today, we're saved by Jesus Christ. We're saved by Jesus Christ alone. We are forgiven when his blood is applied to our lives. We are baptized in his name and in his name alone. Hey, we're born again when we've been born of the water and born of the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that fills our life through the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, we're saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." We are saved through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to make it to heaven. It is through Jesus. Now, there's some preachers in this world today that they would like to sidestep this issue. They want to be politically correct, and so they want to include everybody, and they're afraid to say that we must come through Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the door. I'm thankful today for a church that will preach truth. I'm thankful today for a church that's not going to sidestep the issue, but thank God for preachers and for a church that they'll stand on the truth and declare what's right and will point the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, come on, somebody needs to listen here today. When we're not going to get to heaven through Muhammad. We're not going to get in through Buddha. We can't get in ourselves. Amen. You can't bribe the cake keeper and think he's going to let you in. It's not enough just to be a good person, just to go to church now and then. But if we want to get through the door, you got to do it the way Jesus says to do it. Hallelujah. Come on, are you thankful for the door of the sheepfold? Are you thankful that Jesus is that door, that he protects us from what's outside, and we enter into eternal life through him, and we go in and out, and we exist through the door of Jesus Christ? When we get up in the morning, we need to be going through the Lord. The first thing we ought to do when our feet hit the floor on the side of our bed is to thank the Lord for another day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. When we go to bed at night, it ought to be through the door of the Lord. He is that door. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Come on, are you thankful for the good shepherd today? Are you thankful for the safety of the sheepfold? Are you thankful that Jesus has given his life for the sheep? Another interesting practice by Middle Eastern shepherds was in the tools that they carried. Of course, we all know of the shepherd's staff, that long stick, possibly with a curved end. The shepherd's staff could be used for correction. This shepherd's staff could be used to bring protection to the sheep. It could be used to ward off predators. The shepherd's staff was often used in rescue, in lifting sheep that had fallen over a bank or into a ditch. But there was another tool used by the shepherd, and that was the smaller, shorter stick that was often called a rod. This shorter tool used by the shepherd to bring wayward sheep back to the group. As a wayward sheep would begin to wander away, perhaps not even realizing where they were and where they were headed, the shepherd could often see what the danger was that was ahead, and the sheep perhaps was just following along a path looking for a greener pasture and greener grass, but would not be paying attention to the dangers that were ahead. And so the shepherd would take the short stick. He would take that rod, and he would throw it in front of the sheep. As sheep are easily startled, it would take it by surprise, and it would startle it or scare it back to the rest of the flock. It was in the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David, the shepherd, that he wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David took comfort in the protection and the help of the good shepherd. I want to tell you, there's safety in following Jesus Christ. There's protection in following Jesus. There's freedom from fear when you're following the Lord. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Hey, I'm thankful for the rod and the staff of the Lord. The staff was used for protection. That staff signified the leadership and the authority of that shepherd. But there was also the rod that was used for correction and for direction and to bring that wayward sheep back into the flock. But David said there's comfort in the correction of the Lord. And I tell you today, there's comfort in knowing that God's hand is upon our lives. There's comfort. I know there might be times of correction, but if it's coming from the good shepherd, then we can take comfort in that because he sees what lies ahead in our life. And we might not even understand it. We might not even know what's wrong with the path that we're taking. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And our safety and our well-being are important to him. The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Oh, we must not despise the discipline of the Lord. And don't you dare give up when he corrects us. Don't take the discipline of the Lord lightly because he disciplines those that he loves. He chastises those that he accepts as his child. Oh, there's comfort in the correction of the shepherd today because it means he loves us. It means us that we're his children. We're the sheep of his pasture, and he's looking out for us, and he has our best interest in mind. Hallelujah. I want us to do something a little crazy right now. I wonder if we could just thank God for the times that he's allowed his correction in our life because it kept us from danger. It kept us on the right path. Come on, it was a blessing in disguise. Lord, I thank you for watching after us. I thank you for your protection. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me on the right track. I thank you for that discipline, for that correction. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God, above all else, I've got to be saved. Above all else, I've got to be saved. Above all else, I don't want to die lost. Above all else, I don't want to lose this precious truth. But Lord, whatever you have to do to me, above all else, I must be saved. Amen. In biblical times and even today, it's common that sheep are often kept along with goats. They live together. They're close together in size, and there are some sheep and some goats that resemble one another. They eat much of the same diet. They can be cared for in much of the same way. There's a lot of similarities between sheep and goats. But you spend a little time around them, and you'll see some stark contrast between the two. Yes, there's some similarities, but there's definitely some drastic differences in a sheep and a goat. Sheep are normally very docile animals. They listen to the shepherd. They pay attention to his voice. The shepherd doesn't have to spend a lot of time trying to get the sheep to come, but they listen and they respond to his voice. Goats, on the other hand, they don't listen to the shepherd. More than that, they run from his voice. They want to do their own thing. Where sheep are submissive animals, their own personal will is not really all that strong, but goats, they're not submissive. They have a strong will, and instead of submitting to the shepherd, instead of following his direction, goats like to test the shepherd. They like to see how much they can get away with, and they like to see how far they can get from the shepherd. And goats are not submissive, but they test and they pull at everything they can. A goat will butt just about anything. They'll butt heads with one another. They'll butt up against a fence post. They'll butt you. They're simply hard-headed. You don't turn your back on a big buck. I've had them raise up on their hind legs and try to come crashing down with those horns on you. And you better have a good fence if you want to keep a goat in. If there's a hole, they're going to find it. If there's a weak fence post, they're going to find it. If there's not a hole, they'll try to make one, and they'll stick their heads through a fence and get themselves caught by the horns. They hate fences. Goats are very dominant. Sheep, on the other hand, are much more submissive. And so following their natures, when goats and when sheep are kept together, the goats will often take dominance over the sheep. Jesus was himself described as a sheep being led to the slaughter. Sheep are easily led. They don't have much sense of direction, but they rely on the shepherd to lead them. They listen to his voice. They follow in his footsteps. They are led by the shepherd. They follow his direction willingly. But you take a goat and try to lead it, you'll just be taking a walk by yourself. Because goats aren't easily led. There's something about a goat. It's just independent. Instead of following the shepherd blindly, it asks questions. Well, where's the shepherd going? Is this really the right way we need to go? Because I think we need to go that way. And you know what? I'm going that way. And it looks for ways to go off on its own. And if you really want to move a goat, you're either going to have to find some kind of treat that it can't resist, or you got to catch it. You got to drag it along behind you, and you have to find some way to drive that goat to the place that you want it to go. You know, I remember the day we went to some Western store, and they had one of those ropes that's used for learning to rope cattle, and we bought a couple. Daniel, remember that? We started trying to figure out how to rope something so we could go rope one of those goats. And it was an experience. It was an experience. You had to learn. You had to start at one end of the field because they're going to run from you. And if you started this one end, they would get in the smaller area and they wouldn't realize it. And finally, you'd be able to trap them. And we try to rope those things, and it was something else. But a sheep follows the voice of the shepherd. A sheep is ready to comply. A sheep is easily led. You don't have to drive a sheep. You don't have to drag a sheep. There's some drastic differences between sheep and goats. And Jesus said in our text today that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. And as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then the king is going to say to the sheep on his right, I set you on my right hand, the place of power, the place of authority. You've always been submissive. You've always been under authority. And now look at your reward. Now you're in the place of authority. And now you've received power and blessing and dominion. Come on, you've been blessed. Inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you. Then he's going to go turn to the goats on his left, and he's going to say to them, depart from me. There's no place for you here. You're cursed, and you've not prepared yourself, and you've not listened, and you've not heard my voice. You've not submitted yourself, and depart from me into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. God's going to divide the sheep from the goats. Oh, Lord, search our hearts today. God, see what manner of person we are today. Help us to follow you, God. Try our spirits. Help our attitudes today. God forbid that we would be a goat in the kingdom. But God, help us to follow you. Help us to submit to your will. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. We must not forget today, it's not really about the sheep and the goats. The Bible tells us he's going to divide the people of the world into two groups, just like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And notice they were originally together as one group. They dwelt together. There may have been a lot of similarities, but there's some drastic differences, and the Lord is going to divide them. And those that are like the sheep, they're going to inherit everlasting life, and those that are like the goats are going to be cursed and have to depart into everlasting fire. How is it that we determine which group we belong to? Surely we would want to know today. And Surely it's important to us to know which group we're a part of. Surely we don't want to wait until that day and be surprised. But we've got to be aware today. I don't want to make it to the end and just assume that I'm a part of the sheep and then on that day realize I've just been a goat living along with the sheep. I tell you, we need to know today. We need to realize today. We've got to be aware today while there's still time for God to work on us and to change us. If we're following in the wrong crowd, we've got to determine today, Lord, where am I at? Where do I stand? Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? These are people that have been used by the power of God. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, we are known by our fruits. Sheep and goats are known by their fruits. You can tell the difference in a sheep and a goat by the way it acts. There's a drastic difference. It's really easy to tell them apart if you start to look. How do you know if someone's a sheep? You see it in their spirit. They've got a teachable spirit. They're submitted to the plan of God in their life. They're submitted to the man of God in their life. They're following the leading of the Spirit. They're following the teaching of the Word of God. They don't try to find ways out of obeying God. They're submitted. They don't try to buck at every opportunity. Supportive of the shepherd. They're supportive of their pastor. On the other hand, if you see someone who's always trying to go their own way, they're always trying to buck authority. They're always in the mix, and they're not really in line with the rest, and their spirit isn't in sync with the shepherd, and they try to work against their pastor, and they go around the pastor's back and try to stir up trouble and foolish talk. And they try to influence people to agree with them against the pastor. I want to tell you, if they're not submitted, they're not a sheep, it's a goat. When someone's trying to dominate and control others, when someone is preying upon the weak, when you find people taking advantage of those who are more submissive, you're not dealing with the sheep there, but because that's not a sheep's nature. But what you've got is a goat, and you can know them by their fruits. If someone is easily led and they follow the voice of the shepherd and they trust in his leadership and they're faithful, they're dependable, that's a sheep. Doesn't mean they always agree. It doesn't mean we always agree on things. But sometimes we got to come together and say, you know what? There's a whole lot more that we agree on than we don't. And we're in this together for unity, and we're in this together to press forward because God is king of this church. It's God's church, and we're working for his kingdom. If they're always having to be driven, if they're always having to be pulled along, if they don't come at the voice of the shepherd, they have to be dragged along every step of the way. If it's a struggle for them to follow in the will of God, that's not a sheep. That's a goat. And the sheep are going to be divided from the goats. Why is it that Jesus used this example to describe the different kinds of people? Sheep and goats are often raised together. They're often kept together in the same sheepfold. The same shepherd looks after them, but they're two different worlds. They're two totally different mindsets. One's in line with the shepherd. The other is there, but at the first opportunity that comes up, they've got other plans. And Jesus knew that as we're trying to build a church and as we're trying to reach the lost, there's going to be some sheep and there's going to be some goats in the same sheepfold. And you may not be able to tell which group people belong to just by looking at them at first glance. But you start examining their fruits, and when you start examining and seeing their attitudes, and when you start paying attention to their response to the Spirit of God and their attitude toward the pastor and their willingness to submit to the plan of God, then it becomes real clear which group they're of. Not everybody that comes into the church is going to be saved. Sad, and the tragic reality is, God forbid, but there could be people here today that don't make it in the end. That ought to shake us to our very foundation. There is nothing more important than making it to heaven. There is nothing more important than our salvation. And if something stands in the way of that, it ought to be our first priority to say, that can't be, because I must be saved. The reality is today that when sheep and goats are kept together, they really only do well in small numbers. Once you start to get too many sheep and too many goats together, there's a lot of confusion that happens. And the reason is, the more and more you have is numbers in numbers, the confusion builds because the goats don't listen to the shepherd. And it stirs up confusion in the ranks. And let me bring it home to us here today. As churches are small, sheep and goats are usually okay together. But as churches grow, goats start to act up. Why is it that every time God starts to move, there's always a few goats that like to start causing confusion? It's part of every church. When the numbers are small, there's no real revival happening, and so the goats just kind of mix in with the sheep. But you just let things start to happen, and you just let the church to grow, and you just let the numbers start increasing, and you're going to see a whole lot of bucking going on, because the goats don't listen to the shepherd, and they like to buck their way around, and it causes confusion in the flock. And there's a drastic difference between a sheep and a goat, folks. I'm preaching to a group of wonderful people here today. But the reality is that from time to time, there may be some goats that find their way into our midst. And you can't always tell at first glance, but we've got to be mindful of the Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost enough to know that when we see a lot of bucking, when we see a lot of headbutting, when we see a lot of confusion being stirred up, it's not a sheep doing it. Let me tell you, it's not a sheep, it's a goat. God is not the author of confusion, but that's the enemy trying to work to destroy the plan of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray God blesses our church with unity. I pray that God blesses us today with that spirit of a sheep that says, it doesn't mean that we're all the same. No, we've got different personalities and different views and different backgrounds and all of that, but it means that we're together on purpose. We're together in unity because we're going somewhere. We're headed to the kingdom of God. We're following the shepherd. We're following that good shepherd that gave his life for us. If you will read and study some of the Jewish historical traditions, you will find a tradition that is told regarding the sacrifices that would be made in the tabernacle. The priest would take the sacrifice and they would offer it in worship unto God. It was offered upon the altar. And the sacrifice and the burning of it was not a pretty sight. It was not a pleasant thing. The smell alone had to be quite terrible. Have you ever smelt burnt hair? That smell of burning flesh, it would penetrate the surrounding area of the tabernacle. And as the tradition goes, depending on which way the wind was blowing, sometimes the stench of that sacrifice would make it out to the flocks. And as the wind would bring the awful smell of that sacrifice and that worship to God, as it would bring that out to the flocks, the sheep were fine with it. But the goats, they'd start to stir. And that stench of that sacrifice, according to that Jewish tradition, is that it would cause the goats to sneeze. Today we offer a sacrifice of praise. Our worship unto God is our sacrifice. It's not something we do because it's always easy. It's not something we do just because we feel like it all the time. But our worship is a sacrifice of praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just like the sheep and the goats of biblical times, as the aroma of worship begins to fill the house, you can tell the sheep from the goats, because the true sheep, those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, they love that. They love worship. But goats, they're not really sold out, and they can't stand true worship, and they start to act up. They start to criticize the worship, and they sit back and try to hinder the worship of others. I tell you, worship makes a goat nervous, but sheep love it. Sheep love it. They say, I can't help but worship my God. I can't worship anything else. He alone deserves my praise. He alone deserves my worship. But a goat on the other hand, well, that one, they've got the right to worship, but that one there, I don't know that they measure up to me and my high-powered ability. I want to tell you, sheep, they're not worried about who else is in there worshiping God. They're worried about the King. They're worried about the shepherd. Goats, on the other hand, they don't like it. They start to sneeze. They start to hack up. They start to butt along and create confusion. But this church is going to be a church of worship. This church is going to be a church of praise. This church is going to be a church that lives for God and gives Him everything. In our text today, the word shepherd refers to a herdsman, a shepherd, or he whose care and control of others have committed themselves. And so, we follow their precepts. Another use for the word shepherd is for presiding officer, the manager, or the director of any assembly. That sure sounds like a pastor today. The task of that shepherd, the overseer of that flock, was to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep. He was to defend sheep from attackers, whether they were inside or outside the sheepfold. He was to heal the wounded and sick sheep. He was to save the lost or trapped sheep. He was to love and lead them. I pray that I can be a pastor that's a shepherd. I remember a few years ago pastoring another church somewhere else. Began to pick up on a man's spirit. He was a leader in the church. And I was thankful for them. I was thankful for his family. There was such potential there. But all of a sudden, there was so much confusion when it came to that man. I tried to get him involved in some ministries. I tried to get him involved in the church and work with him and work with his family. And there was always some kind of crisis, and there was always something that wasn't right, and there was always just confusion and trouble. I remember the night that God gave me a dream. And it was that man, but then it wasn't that man. It was a goat. And you follow the life of that man, and you follow the life of that family. Today, I don't know if any of their children are in church. The wife may still go. I don't think he goes at all. Sometimes you don't always see it at first glance. But there's coming a day the Lord's going to divide the sheep from the goats. And there's a lot of differences. I wonder if we could stand today in closing. I want to tell you the reality is today, we all have to fight the tendency of becoming a goat. We all have to fight that spirit. Our fleshly nature, it does not naturally gravitate to the mindset and the attitude of a sheep. When our flesh becomes too strong, when it rises up, it's much more like a goat. We have to keep our flesh under subjection. There are two animals, so to speak, living inside of us. Which one is going to win? Whichever one we feed. Which one's going to be stronger? Whichever one we feed. Whichever one we allow to live will take over. An old song says, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. What about my rights? And what about me? And what about I? Every once in a while, there'll be a situation that arises, and you'll get a rise out of us. It'll be something that gets us, and we're like, I used the example before. I can't remember if it was Duran or Daniel or who it was, but nothing happens when you kick a dead man. But you kick something that's still alive, something's going to rise up. God, help us to be prayed up. Help our flesh to be so submitted. Help us to go daily to that altar and deny ourselves so that when situations come and things happen, there's no rise out of me. We're going to stand for what's right. We're going to stand for truth. But God, help me to be a sheep and not a goat. The last verse of Matthew chapter 25 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There's a reward for the sheep. There's a reward for the goats. Which one will it be? As I said, all of us have to fight that spirit of the goat. I wonder if you'd join me in this altar for a little bit, and I wonder if you'd fight that spirit a little bit with me today. Every single one of us have to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross. Every single one of us have to submit our flesh to Him. Every single one of us have to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Would you pray today? Would you ask God to minister today? Would you ask God to help you today? Lord, touch my heart. Lord, touch my family. Lord, touch my life.